about the rest of the family, because when you come to our house and find me alone, I will tell you, like a good Kikuyu man, hakuna watu.
Thank you, James. Bwana asifiwe. Praise God. My name is Angela Nyambura Ndereba, because he's Ndereba Mureithi. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior. I am a member of this church and I serve in the hospital visitation ministry. And I want to welcome and invite us all to that ministry. It's a beautiful ministry where we visit patients and pray with them. And as we pray with them, we get encouraged too. So please, I kindly invite us all to that ministry. Angela is married to James for those 30 years plus, and we have enjoyed marriage together. God has blessed us with four grown-up children, one girl and three boys, but one went to be the Lord 2 years ago. We also have a grandchild who is 1 and 8 months. I have been a teacher for the last many years, more than 24 years, and I'm now self-employed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that introduction. So give us a little history of your marriage. Where did you meet? There's always two versions. The woman has a longer version, as usual. But we'd like to know, how did you meet? How did you know she was the one? How did you become engaged? For how long did you court?
Okay, just to start, we met sometime in the mid-80s. For some of you, that's a lifetime. And Angela was a very good friend of my sister, so sisters are very good. And she did get in when I was working. I used to work in Mombasa as an engineer there. And I used to stay with my sister. And my sister invited her to our place. And then when Angela came to visit us, I just developed a liking for her. I believe her striking eyes and beauty from that time. She has a very direct look that sees through me even today, and a deep sense of innocence and humility and honesty. And so from that moment on, I followed her up. It was the days of when you actually wrote letters, so I wrote her a letter after that visit and expressed my interest. We could only talk on phone from the workplace because there were no mobile phones. So once in a while, like maybe a fortnight, I would call her up at the school where she taught in Murang'a. It was a long distant verbal courtship most of the time. Yeah, and then we'd get to talk, and things grew that way. The courtship period, about 2 years, more or less, and most of it long distance by phone and the letter. I still have some of the letters, so if I've forgotten how to be romantic, I can read her those letters.
Maybe on my side, it's an interesting one. That's true, what James has said. And maybe for the sake of those who are looking forward to marriage, I remember telling God before I met him that I would want to marry at a particular time. Imagine, God is so faithful. He keeps even deadlines. When you tell him, God, I want a wife, I want a man for marriage at this particular time, that's what I did. I told him that, and he didn't believe it. I had written even the qualities of the man that I would want. And believe you, church, the deadline I gave God, that's when I met James. And I went to visit her sister in Mombasa. And it was purely a visit. I remember when he came for me at night, I went by bus because I expected to see Jane, my friend. I saw a gentleman in a Toyota car, and he came to me and asked, "Are you Angela?" I told him, "Yes." I was a bit apprehensive because I was waiting for Jane, my friend, not James, that I didn't know. So I told him, "No, it is Jane who was supposed to pick me, so I'll not go with you." So he had to call back. That time was the era of landlines, and told Jane, my friend then, that Angela has refused because I didn't know him, had not met him. So Jane had to tell me, "Angela, please, that's my brother, just accept that ride." And just like he has said, the rest is history. We visited, we communicated on phone, and that very short courtship, and the Lord showed me that this was the man.
Praise God. Looking back at some of the expectations you had of marriage, especially for you who had a timeline, how have they changed now? Were there things that you had in your little list, your checklist of of the men you'd like? I mean, what the qualities you'd like, the expectations you had in marriage, how have they changed now, looking back?
Thank you. Thank you for that question. When I look back, I think the list has really not changed. Of course, at the very beginning, maybe you come to marriage with a lot of expectation and you only realize later that it's a journey, it's a work in progress. And with the time, I can say that what I'd asked God has truly been met. I think for me, 90% of it has been met so far.
Hear from James. Anything that changed?
Generally speaking, I think my expectations have been met. Some beyond expectations, others still work in progress. Because we are human beings, you know, there are areas that we keep on improving as a people and in the relationship as well.
That's good. And considering now that nothing has changed, what are some of the responsibilities or changes that you might not have been ready for when you got into marriage? Probably he leaves his socks at the under the chair, and on Monday he wants matching socks. Anything, any responsibilities that you were not ready for and how you coped with them?
I think for me, it's so amazing. One of the qualities that I told God I was looking for in a man is a man who is orderly, because I love order. And it wasn't so hard. James suggested he's very organized. So I can say that, of course, here and there, especially when you want to when you're aiming at excellence, but I think so far, so good. I'm happy with the things that I really look for in a husband.
Yes, that's true. I'm still a work in progress. But as you can see, I was an answered prayer for somebody. So the same somebody will work through me to make me complete as required. I think being a Presbyterian helped me that way, being organized, because Angela was a perfectionist, and one of the things is that in our communication, we are very open with each other, so we tell each other these things. We communicate about everything very openly, and so she knows that I challenged her on her perfection nature, because it's not real, and I think maybe she has adjusted like 10%. So yes, which was a deep perfectionist. So no towel on the sofa when you are passing by. Of course, the socks I knew long back. I never had those thrown all over the place. So generally, still working at the relationship, but there are those two areas. When you come into marriage, you expect a perfect human being, and that's not possible. And I believe I've also adjusted to some of her expectations. I was very talkative. When we drove in our early days, I would talk for 3 hours in the car. And Angela is very composed, and she would be listening to my stories. Now, as we have grown more in marriage, we are almost 50-50 in talking, and I'm happy about that.
This is a rare case where the man talks more than the woman. I think someone said women have 10 times more words than the men. So I know marriage has been a blessing, right?
Yes.
Could you share some of the blessings that you have received as a couple along the way? Any that you'd be willing to share?
Yes. God has been faithful in our marriage in very many ways. I'm sure the list is endless. First is the gift of children. We have, God gave us 4 children, and we now have 3 grown-up children who went to school, and God has blessed them with professions, various professions, and the 2 of them are settled now in marriage, and we have 1 grandchild, and our last born is still in college, finishing this year. Their salvation for me is the most precious gift. I remember when they were young and in teenagehood and early adulthood, it wasn't easy, and I kept on crying to God that they may receive Jesus, and they did that. So for me, their salvation is profound as far as a mother is concerned. They are lovely children who visit us quite often. We are such a close-knit family. And with the 4 children, we have a son who married our daughter, so that's another addition. And our son also brought us a daughter. So we have 2 other children, a great blessing and an addition to our family. So God has blessed us that way. He has expanded us as far as that is concerned.
Maybe James can tell us. You've mentioned that you have a son and a daughter in love, in law. Could you describe your relationship with these children?
These 2 children came into our life after the passing on of our son. That's how God works sometimes. In 2015, our second born son passed on. Third born child, yes. And we received the 2, the young man and the young lady. What I can tell you is that, of course, because today we are talking about relationships, for the parents who are here, you have to start a relationship with another child who is not your own, and you start from zero. So we are working on this relationship. They are lovely children, making them fit into our home. So the very first time when both the couples were married, we called them, we invited them to our place. And actually, right from the introduction, me and Angela sang for them Wanamberi with pots and pans as they came to our home, so that they felt welcomed by the rest of us as a family. And then we told them about our family history, and what we do. Of course, are known to us from earlier times, but in this relationship, we did tell us about our family and who we are and what we do, and we welcome them into the family. So we meet monthly, all of us together, to have either lunch or dinner, and still continue to build that relationship. So I'm having a very close relationship with our daughter in love, and a son in love, and we are very, very easy. Just as I'm having a good relationship with a grandson, I'm a young grandfather, so don't expect too much from me. But I've gone back to the days of crawling on the carpet with my grandson, like we did last night, because he's with us, and he's a great blessing too. Thank you.
It's beautiful. We know that marriage is not really a bed of roses. There are a few thorns. And as comfortable as you are, maybe you can share each, maybe a difficult period, and how this affected your relationship and even helped you become closer as husband and wife.
For me, I remember, I think in our second year of marriage, the expectations and the qualities I had talked about. And 2 years down the line, we had a baby. And James requested me to go out with him. But our going out was very interesting because he left me in a house. Initially, I told me we are going out to visit a friend, and indeed it was. So I was left in the house with the lady of the house, and he took his friend, and they left for the night. And I kept wondering, oh, okay, this is the outing I was told, to be left in someone's house. And we had a 3 months baby. So I was breastfeeding, and God has blessed me with a lot of milk for the ladies who have babies. And you can imagine sitting for hours. It was close to 5 or 6 hours sitting and waiting. He had gone out with his friend. I think there were no phones, so there was no way I could contact him. And I kept praying, God, let him come, because I'm really suffering because of the milk. And I kept on thinking about the baby had left home around 40 kilometers away. I waited in vain. And around, after many hours, he comes with his friend. And as we drove home, you can imagine, I was one mother. And a wife who was completely upset. And I kept on thinking about my expectations. God, I don't think I wanted this. So when we got home, the following day, I expressed my dissatisfaction. I'm sure he will say what I did and maybe the lessons that he learned from that.
So boys' night out did not begin yesterday. Boys' night out began long ago. And I will tell you, when we got home the following morning, she removed her wedding ring and put it aside near my bedside where I slept for 2 weeks. And for 2 weeks, I lived in torture because the sign of my love had been put aside. And the boys, I've never gone out again. My own interesting story, I think it was the same. Our marriage, 0 to 5 years, I think, has a lot of issues. So I also went out to do some study. I think the same year, I believe. And when I went to the U.S. the first time, I wanted to buy them gifts. So I bought many, many gifts for the kids. Nice clothes, and even for her as well as myself. But for her clothes, of course, I chose the best that I could. And you can imagine, in the shops, I had to look at ladies who are like her size and request them to come so that I can check the size. But when I came home now and I unwrapped my gifts, actually 2 suitcases of gifts, including Pampers, which were alien in Kenya then. Angela looked at her dress and she threw it away. And I remembered all the days I had struggled in the malls to get those two dresses, only for her to come and love these dresses 12 years later. So that still remained there. You know, I knew that if you want something for them, you ask them. Don't assume, otherwise you'll surprise yourself.
Very interesting stories. Were there ever moments, just tiny moments, where you were not sure if you married the right person ever in marriage, in the 30 plus years you've been married? You notice they're not looking at each other? Were there ever moments where you were not sure, even if it was like for a tiny second, where you were not sure if you married the right person?
I think for me, with the belief that marriage is permanent, whatever challenges have come along the way, I have taken them as the normal things of life and prayed over them and discussed. As I told you, we are very open in our relationship, very, very open, and including even with our children. We are an open family, so we'll actually just lay something on the table and discuss that issue. But regarding like not having the right person, I believe Angela is the right person for me, has been throughout, and will continue to be in the future till that day.
I think our inability to answer that question affirms that we are just looking for, you know, those incidences. I don't remember any. I think we have generally agreed right from the onset. And just like he has rightfully put it, if there are issues, they are very, very quite minimal and really nothing to report about.
That's beautiful. What are some of the things and the values you embrace as a couple that keep your relationship growing?
There are many. A few include integrity. I think for us that's very important, and that is rooted in the Word of God. You know, remaining faithful to one another. Being honest. We are completely honest, even to very, very, very sensitive matters in our marriage. We try as much as possible to be honest about those issues, even when they are really, really sensitive, just like I've said. Trust, which is more of integrity. Love for God is key in our marriage. And working hard. Thank you.
Yes, and over the time, I also took time to discover Angela's love language so that we are on the same wavelength. And she does love some jewelry and gifting, so I buy these occasionally, and perfumes, nice perfumes. So the gifting and affirming her that I still love her as I did that first day, you know, when we came together. Thank you.
Please note that they have a love language. That's beautiful. As we almost near the end, we know you're Christians. And obviously God has played a very special role. What role has marriage, has God played in your marriage, and how do you keep him at the center of the relationship?
Yeah, for us, God is and continues to be the key of a marriage, and a marriage is founded on that. We know that the love of God for us individually will collectively make us stay in this marriage. When we know God and we love God individually, then collectively we shall build a firm foundation in that marriage. And that also helps us love other people, our children, our family members, our extended family members, the people that live with us, those that work for us, the community at large. So God has been key in what we do in our marriage, in all the aspects of our marriage.
Yes, I think she has summed it all. Both of us are in the faculty of the School of Marital Wisdom, and I also now serve as the elder, liaison elder for the Family Enlishment Ministry. And we teach a very interesting subject for all the 6 years, the role of man and woman in the marriage relationship. And because this is derived from the Word of God, we try to also live by those principles as set out there, with me being the loving leader in the family, in my family, and she, without coercion, being the submissive wife, and both of us are submitted to God, so that does help us to order our relationship. And even in our business, I am a co-director with her in an enterprise which she started, and we work at the same level. Everyone has their responsibility as God given, and we avoid conflict in all these areas. And when they arise, we resolve them amicably.
Finally, we have very many young people in this congregation. Some are married, some are aspiring marriage, some are in courtship. Talk about marriage about as something that needs to be nurtured continually. And what advice would you have to these young people, those who are aspiring marriage, those who are in marriage, in courtship, that as they get there, they can follow your lead, that they may have 30 plus years successful stories?
Thank you. For those who are aspiring to get married, I want to tell you, marriage is enjoyable. Marriage is good. There is no doubt about it. The author of marriage has his manual, and therefore, don't fear marriage. Don't listen to stories of marriage not working. I can tell you it works, and we still enjoy each other in marriage. We are friends. I call him a friend. He calls me a friend. Stay pure until marriage, young people. It is awesome. Invite God if you're not sure of who you want for marriage. I think you can buy a leave, pray. And when I prayed those many years ago, I wasn't born again. Imagine, God is that faithful. So ask in faith, and the Lord will give you that man, that lady that you desire to settle for marriage with. And when you get into marriage, be honest with one another. Even those very deep things, you can still discuss them with your friends. When you invite God in your marriage, anything is possible.
I think for the young men, I would say don't lash into marriage. And I was talking with a young man recently and shared a bit of my story, some young men we mentor, and the young ladies as well. Don't fall into the pressure of society. And I believe a man feels when he is ready for marriage. So even for the mothers who are here, because we were also talking to the mother of the son, don't push your sons to get married when they are not ready, because sometimes that will cause the marriage to have problems. I remember when I felt ready to marry during that time, I could feel in my spirit, in my whole being, that this is the right time. And I think men do reach that stage. So pray and wait until God gives you that signal that this is the time. For the ones in marriage, for the gentlemen as well, love and respect your wife. Understand her needs, which may not always be obvious, and meet those needs all the time. And be a role model and a good father to the children that you have in your own marriage, so that you are able to build a friendship with them, so that when they are older, you can connect as friends. Not just out of instructing them.
Maybe just an addition, a last one, for the mothers present. Let's also not be anxious about our daughters settling down, because sometimes we may push them. Let's just pray about it and commit it to God, and it will finally work. Let's not be anxious. Let's just trust God for their spouses when the time comes.
Thank you very much. We should appreciate them for coming out here to share their story, and so beautifully. And I think with the permission of Elder Gadenya, maybe we can have one of you praying for the future families here and the current families that, as God has led you, he may also lead them.
I just have someone just to close on the relationships. And I titled it, Bearing Fruit in Relationships. And largely, I draw from the second text that we read today, Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Just to sum up about our relationship interview, relationship is defined as the way in which two or more people or things are connected, or the state of being connected. Relationships occur between two or more people. They occur in families, in communities, even in the political scenery, and in organizations and nations. I know many of you work some place or the other. Even workplace organizations are very important. They say people leave organizations because of bad bosses, not even because of a bad job. So that is more about a relationship with someone. Since the Friday reconciliatory meeting between His Excellency Uhuru Kenyatta and Right Honorable Raila Odinga, I'm sure we have experienced a sense of security and confidence in our future as a nation. So relationships are very important, the reconciliation in them even more important. So I just want to pose to us that life is about relationships. Tell your neighbor, life is about relationships. Yes, we have a vertical relationship with God, And in our last question, we looked at that, the purpose of God in our marriage and in all other relationships. If you have a right relationship with God, the rest of them will fall into place. So God is at the center stage of all those different relationships that we have. And it is also drawn from that great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. So relationships also have an order, with God being first in the self. You know, you need to love yourself before you can even go out to love other people. And sometimes we lack this self-love and self-understanding, and we are not able to love others, even in the marriage relationship. Then the spouse and children come in that order. So we need to look at this order and love God first, and then others. Many men, many dads put their priority in work. That is not the right order. Sometimes women put high priority in their children also, but the first priority is with God. Get rid of weeds from in your relationship. We are going through fruitfulness. So any unresolved conflicts need to be gotten rid of. Any unforgiveness in the marriage relationship. Unforgiveness causes bitterness and resentment in people. So get rid of this. The uncontrolled tongue, anger, and gossip destroy relationships. Again, we need to get rid of this. Unfulfilled expectation need to be dealt with because they can cause problems. In order to bear fruit in the relationship, the most important thing is communication, which cuts across all the things. Angela talked about respect and trust and all those things. But you need to be able to communicate deeply in the marriage. You need to communicate to resolve the conflicts that may arise, and you need to communicate at a deep level. I think in communication they call it level 5. I know for men like me and the Gadenya, we talk about our jogging experience most of the time. You know, we communicate at a very, the weather level, you know, the weather level communication. Yeah, and I remember when I met Angela, she liked to communicate at the weather level, and I didn't like it. I used to ask her whether she loved me, then she'd tell me it's not raining in Muranga. So we need to communicate at a deep level where we can resolve all these things. Respect is important. Keeping your boundaries is important. For the young people who are here, you are still living with your parents, you need to keep your boundaries for the home. I know when we had young adults, we kept boundaries. We still have that thing written and pasted in the bedroom. The boundaries for the Derebas family, about respecting each other, how to treat each other, what time to come in the evening. Of course, many times these boundaries were broken, but boundaries are very important because they show you where you should be. And as a good human being, you'll strive to be there. The rest of the things we have spoken to you, the trust, important of trust, no unfaithfulness in relationships and things like that. And because I'm talking to young people also, if you are a Christian, do not be unequally yoked. It doesn't work. You know, sometimes you get into a relationship and you think you'll change the non-believer. Usually the non-believer will convert you the other way. For those of you in business, unequal yoking is also important. One time, again, as the advice of Angela here, I entered into a business relationship with a bishop and somebody else, a third party who was not born again. And he actually, because of the value systems, we could not move on. And actually, we had to sell our stake in the business and get out. So do not get unequally yoked in even a business relationship. So I want to end just by saying that our first priority is to have a proper vertical relationship with God, and then we'll be able to have a horizontal relationship with others, with a spouse, in the workplace, and wherever else God gives us a neighbor. So what I would like to emphasize here is that you can't have a proper second relationship before you have a right relationship with God. And if you are in this congregation today and you do not have a personal relationship, personal friendship with God as your Lord and Savior, then that is your first area of concern. And that is where I would pray that you begin, so that with that put light, your other relationships will go well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I request Angela to close for us with our